Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Tom?
Yes?
Why is Groot in the studio?
He's here to help.
Ah, Groot's so helpful.
I am Groot. I am phone holder.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 25. Quarter century.
Oh, wow.
It's a big one.
It is a big one. And we've decided to bring Linz back in again because we need to celebrate.
It's me. Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
A third time's a charm.
Yeah, right. Third date.
Yeah. Wow. This is serious now, isn't it? We've got so much to talk about and get through. But just a quick warning, if you haven't seen Fear the Walking Dead or Westworld yet, don't worry. We'll be talking about them towards the very end of the episode. So we'll give you a proper spoiler warning and everything. We can get down to the fun stuff first.
Woo.
Firstly, any news stories?
News stories. Oh, there's been a little bits and pieces here and there.
Do you want some news noises?
Sure. In breaking news, Sylvester Stallone returns to the role of Rambo.
Ooh,
yeah, Rambo really? 5 is coming. He's taking on a Mexican cartel this time.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I saw him in, and because I watched it a couple of weeks ago, was Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Sure.
He makes his little cameo in that, which is a lot of fun. But I know that he keeps doing Rocky. I didn't know that he was going to continue with the Rambo.
Well, there were three Rambos that were 80s.
Yes.
And then Rambo 4 was...
Sort of 90s, was it?
No.
Or was it later?
It would be about, I want to say 2009, 2010,
oh,
maybe
not
even
that
somewhere
long
around.
Ago.
Yeah, and that was, I want to say Vietnam or somewhere like that.
Sure, I'll believe
it was,
you.
It was him mowing people down in rice paddies.
And mowing people's lawns.
Yes.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I know, really nice.
I'm very happy that this film is happening. However, there'd been rumors flying around for a while that Rambo 5, which this will be, was actually going to be him taking on werewolves.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is there any other word about that? Because could they have changed the werewolves to wear jaguars and therefore it could potentially be your favourite movie of all time?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I know, right?
Maybe they can be Mexican werewolves.
Ooh. Arriba!
Maybe these drugs that the Mexican cartel are shifting,
yeah.
Maybe when too much is ingested, you hallucinate into believing you're a werewolf. Mm. Howl at the moon.
Could it be like a werewolf, like a Ninja Turtle? So it's like that kind of...
So a permanent
in between
wolf.
Man and wolf.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Is like that going to be a wolf being mutated upwards or a man being mutated downwards?
Well, is it a zebra with white stripes or black stripes?
Is the glass half full or half empty?
Well, I thought that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
I'm down with that. Hey, they announced that Arrested Development is coming back for another season.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a down low, wasn't it? Like, from what I've heard,
surprise.
It's all been done.
Yeah.
Like, so it's completed.
Look, they finished filming back in November or somewhere around
okay.
there. And Mitch Horowitz, who's the showrunner and stuff, executive producer, he season 4 came out on Netflix and it was very much done in a Rashomon style of separate episodes for each character.
Uh-huh.
Primarily because they were all filming at different times. They're all very busy, you know, a lot of them doing movies and stuff these days. So it was when he could grab them and film them on green screen and then reinsert. So he's just put out season 4 remixed, which is those 15 episodes, which were all about 30 minutes, instead cut down to 22 for TV across 20 episodes or something like
okay.
that, and telling it much more narratively.
Yeah, okay.
So it might make more sense, because that season, there were parts of it that were quite confusing.
Super confusing.
And the first few episodes were like, okay, this is kind of funny, but it wasn't until the fifth or sixth where everything started to interlink and
lock
in.
You started to get context.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So season 5 kicks off May 29th. Mm-hmm. I am hugely
That's
fucking
really
excited.
Soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looks like Lindsay, who's Portia de Rossi, is going to try and run for government.
Oh, what a great storyline.
So,
great
feels
character
very,
for that.
Well, feels very Ivanka Trump.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yes. I think there's going to be some great digs.
Reflective of the times.
And the most exciting part was the trailer ends with Tobias David Cross in smeared blue paint saying that he just blew himself for the first time in 5 years. Made me feel so good.
Look, just really quickly about Little Digs. I was playing some more of Far Cry 5
sure.
the other day. And one of the, not even characters, just somebody in the world, I walked past them and they were just talking. And they said something along the lines of, "Is that orange Russian still in power?"
Nice.
He just walked off. I was like, oh, I should hang around these people more often, see what else they say.
Good viewpoint.
It was very funny.
Hey, they announced last night as well, Peter Rabbit 2 has been greenlit
already
for production, which, yes, very quick. It's currently sitting in like the fifth biggest film of the year. It's performed very well.
And it's May. I mean, we're almost halfway done.
Yeah,
that's
a good
not
run.
Bad. Yeah.
You know, it's going to get knocked down now that summer season's kicking off and
of
all
course.
The big films are coming.
Yeah.
But still, that's huge for a, you know, kids animated
non-superhero movie.
Yeah, and CGI live action hybrid.
Yeah.
More importantly, made in Sydney.
Yeah.
So,
do you reckon Corden's still in?
Oh yeah, everyone's back. They said everyone, you know, the voice cast will come back.
That's great. Great news. Just really quickly, I saw that American Idol, you know how it came back last year? It's coming. It's just been renewed again. ABC over in the US has renewed it. That means Katy Perry's going to get another $25 million. Just insane amount of money just for being a judge.
So,
no wonder they do it. This is, I always wondered why they were doing it. What's the incentive? I mean, you could go and do your own album, tour the world, instead of listening to, you know, people sing songs at you. Now
so.
I understand. $25 million for not even a year's work.
Yeah, right.
Not bad.
I was looking up yesterday how much people earn for Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah.
And Mariah Carey earns something nearly $500,000 a year.
Just for
one song.
That one
that's,
song.
That's what About a Boy is all about.
It is.
Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Doing very well.
But he didn't even sing. It was his father's
song,
wasn't it? Yeah. And he's just literally living off his father's royalties for the rest of his life. Great.
And he had an aversion to the song. It makes
he did,
sense.
He hated it.
You'd just click your heels every time you heard it, wouldn't you?
He would. And he'd be able to afford Ruby slippers as well. Brilliant. Did you guys see that Bill Murray was part of one of those gender reveals, those baby gender reveals?
No, but I want to know more.
This story, I as soon as I saw it, I went, of course Bill Murray would do something as random as this. Because you know how in the past maybe 5 years it's been really super trendy to do it on social media. So you do the quick little video of you cutting the cake and it's either pink or blue and that's the gender of your soon-to-be child. Anyway, he was at the Murray Brothers Caddyshack Golf Tournament, which they do down in Florida each year. And he helped a couple reveal that they're having a baby, I think it was a boy or a Smurf, I'm not really sure, by hitting a golf ball and blue glitter came out. And therefore, that was the reveal. How do you get Bill Murray to say yes to something like that?
I imagine quite easily.
Does he embrace randomness?
Oh, so much.
Yes.
So much. So there's an urban legend story for years that had gone around of Bill Murray sneaking up to a guy at a party, putting his hands over his eyes and whispering in his ear, "They'll never believe you." And he turned around, it was Bill Murray. And apparently he does this all the time.
That's
and
so good.
Drops in at random parties, like goes to college parties. Just
turns up.
If he's walking past, he'll walk in or go and work behind a bar for a night just for a laugh.
I heard one where he was in like the equivalent of Target cycling on a little girl's bike and passed someone and said, "They'll never believe you."
So creepy in the best possible way. I heard, and I don't know if this exists anymore, but he didn't have an agent. Instead, he just had a message.
Yeah, answering machine.
Answering machine.
And yeah,
people
yeah.
just ring up. And then he'd go through them himself and decide what he was interested in.
He's all about,
great way to do business.
He's all about the elevator pitch. He wants you to be able to explain it to him in a minute or he doesn't want to hear it.
Fair.
Word about. Economy. He could work in FM radio.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Let's get into some stuff that we've been watching because I've watched a lot and I really wanted to make the first one that I watched yesterday and it was super endearing and I don't know if you know this but I'm obsessed with Jennifer Saunders and have been since I was about 14. Ab Fab, all that sort of stuff, French and Saunders. Anyway, Joanna Lumley, Jennifer Saunders, absolutely champers. They go over to France on a little holiday and they just go and taste champagne.
Nice.
It was brilliant. Now, I knew from Jennifer Saunders' autobiography that her and Joanne are actually really good friends, not just workmates, but obviously met with Ab Fab, but have this long and ridiculously hilarious relationship since then. It started off the first couple of minutes. Jennifer Saunders got the giggles on a train because of something Joanna Lumley said. And the rest is just, it's just hilarious. And you just want to be there. I was jealous of the two of them because they were there and I wasn't. I want to be their best friend as well. It was just lovely.
You got Ab Fab FOMO.
I did. I totally did. It was really good. And you know how good Joanna Lumley is at those travel shows anyway.
Sure.
So she really did sort of steer the ship. Jennifer Saunders is obviously not that good at asking people questions. She's more there for the, I'm going to say something hilarious now.
Yeah.
But the difference between them, because Joanna is just so, when she is not being Patsy, she's got the sweetest, lightest, kindest voice. And then at the end, she did her Patsy impersonation. Well, is it an impersonation if you play Patsy? Anyway.
Silence. I'm not sure.
It was so good. And I really wanted it to be a series, but it looked like it was a one-off. Anyway, they might go somewhere else and do something.
Oh, maybe they'll make it like, what's The Trip with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon?
Rob Brydon, yeah.
Where they jump back in once a year and do another series
I'd
or
like
a special
that.
Or something.
You'll have to go and like watch it 100 times.
I will.
And then they'll be like, oh. It's doing well.
Yeah, that's right. It's gone so well over in Australia for some reason, in a particular part of the country as well. Demographic is interesting. Really cool. What have you been watching, Linz?
So I watched The Defiant Ones.
I've heard about this.
Which was perfect. Just editing and story and celebrity. It had everything in it. So it's about Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. Jimmy Iovine is, I read an article about him. He's got the best dad ever, and who would say things that would make him really confident. I've written some things down.
Just a really sort of positive.
For example,
father.
Every room you go in is better because you're there. When he said that he was going to be working with John Lennon, he said, "Lucky John." If he made an omelette or something, it'd be like, this is the best omelette I've ever tasted. You've done amazing. So he's a super confident, super confident guy. So he's a really interesting character, and a New Yorker, and Dr. Dre is on the other coast.
He's straight out of Compton, man.
Yeah. And so it was sort of how they came together through the years that led up to the biggest deal of Beats being bought
Beats.
By Apple. And whilst meeting just about every influential artist along the way, and how sort of Dre and Jimmy Iovine pretty much facilitated the last 20 years of music.
Insane. To have that much impact.
Yeah. Right. It's hard to
not
name.
Only music, but pop culture.
Yeah. And like different genres as
really
well.
Really different.
You've got like Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, Eminem, Gwen Stefani, sort of like this full range.
Limp Bizkit.
Did they do Limp Bizkit?
They were on Interscope.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Yeah.
They weren't on the show.
I don't imagine they would have been.
So, and there's been a load of shows about the Tupac Notorious B.I.G. Story.
Yeah, bit of rivalry there, wasn't there?
Yeah, and but it just didn't tell the story as well as this did. And
yeah,
it
right.
wasn't even really solely about that, but it kind of got to the subject by the people who were there. Dre and Ice Tea or Ice Cube? I get them mixed up.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
Yeah, Ice Tea is the one who...
Ice Tea is the one that got a little bit to come from New York.
He ended up
that would be proud.
Pretending to be a cop.
Yeah.
What show?
He was all about cop killers because he's also in Body Count, which is like a metal rap group.
Yeah, right.
But yes, he's on...
Is it Law and Order or is it one of the others? Question's too hard for us.
It might be CSI or something.
There's a lot of thinking going on.
A lot of thinking going on. So you would recommend it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really interesting.
Yeah, like everything about it was sharp. The story wasn't polished. Like, it showed some dark moments.
But it kept you interesting. It kept you interested, I mean.
Yeah, so they didn't sugarcoat their lives.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's just fabulous. Recommended.
What about you, Tom?
Look, I caught the first episode of a new season of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Yeah, now you were talking about this a couple of months ago.
Yes. Yes. So it started 10 weeks ago or something like that, but I think they're on Hulu or somewhere, some different paid platform. Yeah. So I had to wait for it to hit iTunes. And it was kind of a little bit bittersweet because the day it finally hit was when they announced that this has been the last season.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's three seasons.
I had heard about this, yeah, that it had finished. Well,
which
it was finished.
It's a pretty good run considering they started doing the films in like the 80s and they did, you know, two films in the 80s, one in the 90s, then sat dormant until 2015.
Never say never, though. Look at how many things have come back recently.
Yeah, right.
Well, they've been very public saying this is the end.
Oh, and okay, so it definitely is.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell said that he's hanging up the boomstick.
All right.
But then that's like, there's some bands who's always going to be their last tour. Last tour this gone.
John Farnham. Yeah. Sure, was doing a lot of last tours for a while.
Kind of believe him, though, because the best way to if you've not seen the Evil Dead films, the best way to describe Ash Williams, his character, is Roger Rabbit.
Okay.
Go on, do the...
Anyway. no, just in terms of it's very slapstick and comedic. So the first Evil Dead was a very dry, sort of serious horror film. Mm. And then the second one, they gave in and made it a lot more silly. Mm. And then the third one is utter ridiculousness. He falls back through time and into like the 1400s and has to rally an army to fight back against skeletons. And they just lent into the silliness of it. Mm. And this the recent seasons since it's come back have been great. Lucy Lawless is a really big part of the show and stuff like that. They film over in New Zealand, so it makes a lot of
sense. That's why Lucy Lawless is there.
But I'm sad to see it go because... it's the only show I can think of on TV that has genuinely scared and yet made me laugh every episode.
That is a hard feat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
It's so easy to lean in too far either way.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did some of the goriest stuff on television. For example, he was fighting a deadite last night who was playing a harp, and he managed to kick the harp onto the girl's face, then jump on the harp. And it scissored her face like an accordion.
Yes, it did.
But that didn't end her. She got up and started chasing around and the face was flapping and making genital sound effects.
Makeup artists dream.
That's what I mean. They have all this sort of stuff. Someone gets decapitated by a cymbal. But it was a fight in a high school band room.
It was always going to happen. That's whiplash to the extreme.
Yeah, but the body keeps walking around with the head on top, balancing on top of a cymbal, and then it falls, and as it hits the ground, of course, makes a ba-doom-tsh. This sort of, so that's what
so
I mean.
It's
a wonderful sensibility about it.
Yeah.
If you don't like gore, you'd never get into this show. But if you enjoy anything like that, if you enjoyed Shaun of the Dead, Ash vs. Evil Dead, great show.
Okay. Sounds like something I might have to get into.
We are the Watchers. Now, the voice cracked. Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've had enough. Toodaloo.
Last week, Abe mentioned Ozark.
Yes.
With Jason Bateman.
Yes.
I thought, I'll see what it's like. Because I remember him saying through episodes and then through the series, you keep going, no, it can't get worse than this. It can't. No, it does. I have only watched the first episode. It just goes from worse to worse. You're like, how is this going to get any worse? And then you look at it, you're like, wow, there's a whole heap of other episodes. It must get worse. But what was it? I thought it was interesting. I didn't know. Jason Bateman directed it.
Okay, yeah.
And is executive producer, which is why when you mentioned Arrested Development and how they had to film all separately, he was probably doing that.
He's a busy man.
Very busy man. He's always in stuff, isn't he? Jason Bateman's the guy that's in stuff.
Yeah.
Same with Paul Rudd. They're in stuff.
Sure.
All the time.
Jason Bateman is your backup Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, he is. Well, he was in Teen Wolf too. When who was he? Was he supposed to be the cousin? I can't remember. It's been ages since I saw the second one.
I blocked
it. I saw the first one.
Mm. Oh. Are you talking about the TV series or the film?
No, the films from the 80s.
Oh, he was in that, was he?
Oh, so
he was in he was Werewolf in Teen Wolf 2.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I'm going to have to watch that. I'm like, I can't remember it properly. It should be something I know
nearly,
very well.
It's not nearly as good as the first one.
Oh, you might get a bit of the nostalgia aspect.
Yeah.
Probably not, though.
The soundtrack from the first film was amazing.
Yeah, a lot of great songs. Yeah. He danced for some of it, didn't he? As a werewolf at the prom? Yeah. He was dressed as... Or did he turn up? I can't remember.
Wasn't he in the light blue suit?
Yes, that's right.
He was looking fly, yeah.
Very hairy.
Marty McFly.
Marty McFly.
I'm a big bad wolf.
We can't afford that.
Oh, sorry.
What else have you been watching?
We've watched some Snoop do daytime TV.
The Joker is wild. So I believe I mentioned this a few weeks ago, the game show Snoop's hosting. The more we watch, the more we get into it.
So I like to describe it as if Snoop got high,
yep,
watched some daytime TV, and thought, I've got a good idea. But he's got the money
I'm
and
famous enough to pitch it, yeah,
to actually do it.
That's so good.
His tone is so good. He's always just, all right, we're going to play. Give spin on that lever and let's spin this big-ass slot machine. It's never a slot. It's always the big-ass slot machine.
Well, it's far more exciting than just the slot machine. Does he? I think you mentioned sometimes there are famous people on there.
Yes. So there's different segments, you know, that come up on the board and they have to choose what games they're going to play and stuff like that. And this week...
That's right. You said Matthew McConaughey was one of them.
Matthew was on 1 week. This week was Adam Devine and Exhibit.
And Wanda.
Wanda Sykes has been on.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
She's got a sassy voice.
Yeah.
But it's sassy, but I can't be bothered with you as well.
Oh, she's done.
Yeah. She's really done.
She's so done. But yeah, Exhibit was on for a section called So Whitey, and it was... all whitey then. And it was stuff that white people probably know. The contestants were both African American. And the question was, what is this TV series? It features one character that's a paleontologist and another,
I already know.
And another character named Chandler. And then everyone just laughs and goes, ha ha ha, so white.
But the guy didn't know.
Guy really? Didn't know. No.
He said,
I'm
know?
Millennial.
It's still on television.
He guessed it was Everybody Loves Raymond.
Probably doesn't watch television. Everybody Loves Raymond? Seriously? Can you imagine Raymond as a paleontologist? That's ridiculous. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's great.
It's daytime, isn't it, over in the US?
No, it's just shown at like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay.
They know what their audience
is
up to.
Yeah, fair enough. Yep.
Yeah.
And that they're still awake. Doing what they're doing.
Eating a bag of chips.
Yeah. What else have you been watching, Tom?
We watched an episode of a show called Safe Word, which is an MTV show. They have two celebrities on with an improv troupe, and the improv troupe is carved up between them plus a few that are kept mercenary.
Mm.
And they play games with each other and have you nominate a safe word phrase for the other person, and you have to try and get them to say that in order to not have yourself embarrassed on social media. So you get the other person's phone and, you know, take a photo of them doing something embarrassing, and then you and your improv team come up with snappy hashtags and like a bad caption for them.
Fun.
And the other person can either say, yeah, put it up, I don't care, or they have to say their safe word, and then there's a punishment at the end of the episode.
What sort of punishment? I mean, what are we talking about?
Oh, not a massive, like, read a prepared statement that makes you look like a dick praises the other person for beating you. But some of the stuff that they were making him tweet out was pretty embarrassing. So the episode we watched was Ron Funches, who I'm a massive fan of, and Drake Bell, who used to be on the show Josh and Drake.
Yeah, he was was he the portly guy? And then as he's grown up, he's become thin or well, not
I'm
going to
go with yes, because this dude had obviously glowed up. He was looking very good.
I can't remember which one's which. There were two of them. Like in the show, there were two guys.
Yeah,
I don't remember. It was Nickelodeon.
It was.
Yeah.
It's gone from my memory.
Yeah.
But
maybe Drake was the hot mess. Is the hot mess now? If
I don't
know. Let us know.
His safe word was I'm the second best Drake. So he had to say that.
True, though.
Looking into the camera every time that he didn't want to be embarrassed, and Ron being a ruthless stand-up. Just destroyed this guy. Just, like, nearly had him in tears. The stuff was so full on.
Ron's out and about at the moment, isn't he?
He gets around.
Yeah.
He's very popular. We mentioned Taskmaster last week, which is continuing on. We watched two more episodes this week. It's great. And
really
Ron,
good.
Ron is killing it there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He would be good in that, for sure.
Everyone else is getting competitive and he's just not.
He just doesn't care. He's only there for the comedy purposes. If he can get a line in, I assume that's what he's there for.
But we learned he's actually very good at camouflage. They had one challenge where they had to, you had 10 minutes to camouflage yourself in a setting and then they'd take a photo.
That's so good.
And a lot of people, like it was in a backyard, a lot of people thought, oh, I'll jump in the pool, they won't see me. You could see them, every single one of them. But Ron got like a you know, a deck chair and got all the cushions and laid down underneath the cushions on the deck chair and you couldn't see him at all.
He's a cushion monster.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Blended.
Yeah. I watched on ABC iView, and I know that it's been going for quite a while, but I've just never gotten around to watching an episode of Julia Zemero's Home Delivery, where she goes back to the city or the town or the suburb with a celebrity, well-known person, and has them talk about their life as they're growing up and whatnot. This one was with Rebecca Gibney. So they went to Wellington over, across the Dutch. And at the beginning, she sort of, Julia sort of said to her, now we'll go to the house later because I know you've got to build, work yourself up to it. And I went, oh, okay, it's interesting. And I won't give too much away because it's still on iView, but it was quite emotional when she got to her childhood house, which hadn't changed that much, she said. But there was this whole backstory that I didn't know about Rebecca Gibney at all. And I realized I didn't actually know that much about her. I knew she was from New Zealand, but that's about the end of it. And yeah, you just you ended up at the end of the episode feeling like, I got so much respect for you. You are really strong. Super strong after everything that happened as you grew up. I would highly recommend it. I did see that there either is or was one of Louis Theroux.
Oh, okay.
I want to catch that one. That one sounded really cool.
Okay, because he used to be friends with Adam and Joe.
Correct.
So I wonder if that's featured.
It might be. Yeah, I'm not sure. But it sort of at first felt a little bit like Who Do You Think You Are? Except sure. You've got Julia there sort of steering it. But it's about the person you know instead of about the famous person's back family, sure. Ancestors or whatnot.
Sure.
Really good.
Nice.
And there's still quite a few up there and it's on once a week.
Yeah, right.
I can't remember when because I watched it on iView. I watch it in my time.
It's pull content, not push.
Exactly. What else have you been watching?
Hey, so I know I talk about Impractical Jokers a lot, but they flipped the format this week.
In what way?
Well, they started the show and they said, all right, we're going to get going, and then pulled it, well, which means they're about to spring something on someone, and instead forced the crew to do all the challenges for the whole episode. So everyone that mans cameras or executive producer or whatever back behind the scenes
they thought
role,
they were safe.
Yep, they got shoved out. And the deal was that if you won, you went into a small pool and they would choose from there someone who got a full week's paid vacation. So
not bad.
People took it seriously. There are a few people that choked on the mark, but a lot of these crew guys have obviously learned through osmosis and stuff like that because they were really good.
So it was it all sorts of awkward?
Yeah, all sorts. And, like, there was no punishment at the end. It wasn't that sort of thing.
Okay.
So it was different
to
the normal
form.
Exactly. There was a prize. And most of the segments were 30 seconds to 60 seconds. Very short, so someone would get out, say something.
Mm.
You know, they did the clipping balloons to an unsuspecting stranger game. Two people have balloons on strings with pegs, and you've got to pick all this sort of stuff. It was very good. It was interesting seeing it from a gameplay perspective of, you know, you lose. I've seen so many episodes of these guys playing these games that you lose sight of the fact that they're creating comedy in a unreal situation. You know, there's a lot of layers they go through. So when you see it stripped back and you just see people playing like theatre sports games, it was really cool.
Yeah. And how far into the season are we?
I think that might be the last episode for now.
That's a nice way of doing it, finishing it on something different.
Yeah.
Because now going into the next season, they might get some people going, oh, that'll be fun to do again.
Yeah,
keep it open.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, they take a bit of a break, and I think they're doing the Impractical Jokers cruise soon. They do. You laugh.
So what, you just go on a cruise ship with
there's
them
a week-long
hoping that
cruise.
They do or don't do a practical joke on you?
Kind of.
So you can get tickets, ticketed.
Yeah, you can go along and they do, you know, they do shows every night. They're interacting and walking around with everyone. They're filming episodes while it's happening, so you could end up in the show and this sort of stuff. But they have a bunch of other comedians, I think they have wrestlers and stuff.
Wow, that sounds like your type of
it
cruise.
It really does.
How why to get are you Tom not on there? A boat.
They filmed one punishment at one of these things. Joe, who's the largest of them and who doesn't embarrass easily, had to enter a diving competition, except he had to belly flop over and over and over until they told him he could stop. And
how many times?
Till he passed out.
What? No, that's so unfair.
Well, this is the dude that won't crack and break. He won't, you know, he refused to ever give in. And he went until his front was turning purple, like past red, past maroon, straight through to purple, and then was just floating face down in the pool.
God, that smack on raw purple skin.
He must have done it 30 times.
That is ridiculous.
So good.
He must have been dark purple by the next day.
It was good.
Well, it was his choice. He could have said, stop, I guess.
If he did that, he gets kicked off the show.
The stakes are that high?
If you refuse a punishment, you're off the show.
Wow.
It nearly happened once with the guy that hates heights and they made him go skydiving.
Well, you know what? If you want to be on the show...
But why are you saying that we have to do something if we want to be on the show?
You want to be on the show? I've got some. No, I'm so. I would never be that prepared. Lynn, what else have you been watching?
What else? I've been mainly looking over your shoulder. Hey, we watched some Talk Show the Game Show.
Talk Show the Game Show.
Which is always fun.
More drop the mic.
That's fun. Yeah. I'm enjoying watching the clips.
Yeah.
With we watched the one with Seth Rogen. Have you talked about that
we
one
did.
Already?
We mentioned that last week. There was one with Molly Ringwald and John Cryer.
Yeah, nice.
What a combination.
They were in Pretty in Pink together. I have to think about it first, otherwise I'll say 16 Candles. Which was my preferred movie back in the day. But then the more I think about it, 16 Candles, her parents were as bad, if not worse, than Kevin McAllister's parents from Home Alone.
Yeah.
Because...
that was not good parenting.
They just completely didn't even remember when her birthday was and had her sister have her wedding then. But also, at the same time, Molly, that's your fault.
Yeah, pipe up.
Say something. Ridiculous.
So I also watched something called Abstract, which is like a design show.
Mm-hmm.
And I skipped straight to the episode I wanted to watch, which was about a photographer in New York who's famous. Can't remember his name. Platon or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does like profile shots of Obama and Gaddafi and all these, you know, big political
big
leader.
Names.
He's done it sort of thing. And it was really interesting, really good. And I've wanted to find a design show like that that talks about photography or, I don't know, machining or all these sorts of things that TV, traditional TV, just would never
You wouldn't see that on normal free-to-air.
Yeah, right. Because you get so much cookery shows and stuff.
Yeah, it's the thing.
Don't necessarily go too much into design. So it was good. I recommend that.
So each episode will be something completely different. It won't all be about photographers.
That's correct,
right.
So there's one on illustration, stage design, architecture, graphics, interior design. So, and they go more in depth than ones that you've probably seen before, because they just go straight to the top.
And I guess also they don't need to follow the format of like those sort of competition shows.
Yeah, so it's not a competition show. It's not a dry instruction manual or anything like that. It's
people who are really good at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's a bit of a biography, bit of creative process.
Mm.
So yeah, it was really fun.
What's it called again? Abstract.
Abstract.
Okay.
There's 8 episodes out so far, I think.
What's it on? Is it Netflix?
Netflix.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of people have Netflix. Very accessible. Very accessible.
In a world that Tom forgot, we are the Watchers.
Have you got anything else, Tom?
I finished Black Lightning. I've fallen behind a few
episodes. I've fallen behind as well. So without giving too much away to me, did you enjoy?
I did.
Where it's gone?
It finishes quite electrically.
Like what you did there. Good work.
The seeds planted earlier in the season blossom and come to fruition.
Yeah, nice. We kind of suspected that would be the case.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's where it ends. The thing that excited me most is where the season ends looks like. So if you look at like Breaking Bad and all these shows, you've got always got the nagging, worrisome wife.
Yeah.
The character who, oh, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Which, that's how she started at the beginning of the season. Mm. She is not that by the end of the season.
Amazing. Because there was, in her character, there's power, strength, and obviously she's incredibly intelligent as well. So it's good to see that those, like you said, the seeds of her character.
Yes. So it felt very organic, and she'd been through such a she went through some shit this season, but her end result is bringing her much closer with the family.
And does it make you more excited? Does it make you excited about the next season?
This almost feels like this season has been like a prelude.
Sometimes the first seasons of shows have to be, don't they? Yeah.
That's what Preacher was.
Yeah.
A show that sort of sets up the world and establishes things, but where it's hit things for season two, it feels like it's going to be like Diversity Incredibles.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well done. That was good.
Sounds like a university team.
That's Monsters, Monsters like University 3 or something. Yeah.
Incredibles. I watched Baywatch the movie.
Ah, yes.
And I remember back in the day, Baywatch itself was incredibly stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so popular. And I never understood why it was popular. Except obviously I do. But yeah. What Baywatch the movie does is it knows it's not the most amazing movie in the world. Yeah. And it knows it's based itself off a pretty stupid show. And it references storylines where it'll say, huh, why would that ever happen on a beach? That's stupid. And you go, that's obviously a storyline from the Baywatch TV show. They make fun of the slow motion running.
Sure. Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. And The Rock's just a super endearing guy.
He is.
With Zac Efron.
With Zac Efron, exactly.
We saw it on a date night,
We did.
At the movies? Was it packed? I mean, what sort of...
No.
I
was going to say, did you find it more or less fun than getting your dick stuck in a deck chair?
Yeah, that was probably... I actually found that really amusing.
So you're saying better than?
Yeah, better than.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't pay to see it, did you?
I didn't pay
to
see it.
No, we paid to see it.
There's no way I was paying to see that.
It was one of those films that's like, what do you want to watch, Tom? What do you want to watch, Lindsay?
Yeah, it's a compromise.
Let's go watch Baywatch.
Both of us would not be upset if we were watching
it. It came out about this time last year or something like that. Was sandwiched,
yeah, something like that.
Sandwiched between a period of big, good movies.
It was never going to be good, though. The fact that it was Baywatch, I mean, you saw the trailers, you knew that it wasn't going to be the most amazing movie ever. You had to go into it realizing that.
I still had hopes that it'd be subversive, like a 21 Jump Street. Or
true, yeah, because that worked well.
That worked really well. I even quite enjoyed Starsky and Hutch with Ben Stiller and Owen. It's got to be Owen.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, it's Owen Wilson. Yeah, not Luke.
No.
Yep. Lots of hotties in it, though.
Mm-hmm.
In Baywatch.
And a classic, what was it, a motorbike into the ocean scene?
Yeah, sure. You've got to have one of those. It wasn't even his. He took someone else's to do that.
All right.
And they still got to the people before him. No, they were around the same time, and they started on the beach running. So amazing. Anything else?
I don't think so. I have some news related to Fear.
Yeah, nice. All right. Well, let's get into Fear then.
Sure.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
All right, what's the news?
So, okay, I misspoke. It's not related to Fear. It's related to Walking Dead.
That's okay. It's all the same world.
It sure is. And there's some casting rumours going around about some new characters for season 9 of Walking Dead. Characters called Magna and Yumiko.
Do you recognise these names from the comic books? Okay.
Are they major? No. They'd be around about a Sadiq level, maybe even just lower. They come from another group that some of the survivors meet. It's after the time jump.
So we are doing the time jump.
Yes. So it looks like very much when Alexandria or wherever they're going to be based now is way developed, and they've got windmills and this sort of stuff happening. They find a small group out there. The reason why it's interesting, though, the reason why we should care, is that's the group that arrives just before they first meet the Whisperers.
Interesting. So the Whisperers are coming.
So it does look that way, yes.
I did see a couple of grainy photographs from on set. There were a lot of characters riding horses. And Rick's hair is quite short, which is good, because that was greasy stuff that he had on top of his head.
Wow. Due a haircut.
So much sweat.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. So I don't know how he's going to do his Rick sweats, because the hair was obviously a major factor in that. But anyway.
Do you think it's just, you know, I'm in the zombie world. Who am I out to impress? Let yourself go a bit.
Oh, there's definitely people letting themselves go because they're wearing really drab colours.
Yeah.
And whether that has anything to do with the fact that washing machines are not working as well as they used to.
I'd like them to find, like, a character in the deep woods who's, like, completely made up and, like, still...
That was...
white as white can be clothes.
What was Morgan's old mate that trained him up? Eastman?
Eastman.
Eastman. He was quite well dapperly dressed.
He was.
For a woodsman.
Yeah, actually, getting back to Fear, one of the vultures was wearing quite a colourful, brightly coloured Hawaiian shirt. And I went, the whites are quite white in that. Where'd you get the washing powder? What did you think of this episode? I thought it was a bit of a quieter one.
Yeah, wasn't nearly as eventful as some of the previous ones, but they do a lot of legwork to establish a new status quo for the show and stuff.
They're desperately trying to let us think that Madison's dead.
Yeah.
That's really important.
And they really want to make Jenna Elfman a thing.
I didn't mind the water park scene, except there were quite a few moments where I went, why'd you get in the pool when there's only like half a dozen of the walkers? Why didn't you just... bring them over to the to the side, stab them then, but instead they got in the water and then tried to stab them.
There were some really foolish decisions.
really foolish.
In what universe do you go, let's walk up that slide
by
going through the pool and making ourselves slick first?
Yeah,
that makes
really
a lot
idea.
Of sense.
Oh, they've barricaded it. You've got arms and legs. You can climb.
Yep.
It's designed to stop the walkers from climbing up there. They're not as clever as you. And I always think that.
They didn't... When we looked at the water slides, I didn't see one that was having that giant, large, circular, you know, what would you call
that? Like a spiral sort of thing.
Yeah. I didn't see that from the outside.
No.
And how far they fell to get down there didn't feel like they were at the bottom of the thing and there should be a water fill. Like, just no.
No. No.
But I did appreciate that they were talking about, you know, going to the library, going to a bowling alley, going all to these places that would be my first thought.
You got to think outside the square, man.
Well, just, you know, if everyone's gone, you've got free rein and stuff. Yeah, I'm going to go. It's a shame Wonderland is no more.
Yeah,
because that would
true.
Be a good place.
That would be good. If you're up on the Gold Coast, which potentially you are, or if you're somewhere like in Florida, go to the theme park, because not only is it going to be a lot of fun, free, but there's going to be a lot of food there too.
Can you imagine getting parade floats for a Disney parade and just like Mad Maxing the fuck out of them?
Yes.
For a vehicle.
Brilliant idea.
Or a zombie attack on It's a Small World.
Well, when you get off that ride, your brain dead anyway.
There's no escape. There could be a really fun Shaun of the Dead-like scene with the teacups.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon that would work well. Just get the teacups, like have the zombies in the teacups whizzing around, and then you just get like a Michonne samurai sword and just sort of stand there. And just whoosh.
Somebody must have pitched an apocalypse Disney World.
Why haven't Disney picked up on it? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Just really quickly, we are up to episode 3 of Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
And that's from Hulu. You can watch it SBS On Demand as well. They've got it on SBS as well this year. And that's super exciting.
You're digging it?
Ah, digging it big time. Along the lines of The Walking Dead, in that just when you think there's a bit of hope for a character, they dash it immediately and you're like, wow, back to minus square five.
Sure.
How's this going to pan out? And that's where we're up to at the moment. There are people in Canada because this Gilead sort of in sort of the New Englandish area of the US,
right.
And there is no more US. Basically, you don't know how much of it there is. It's all a bit confusing, and the people in Gilead don't know much at all. They're really sort of they're completely and utterly just closed down from any sort of news from the outside world or even the world down the road. Two houses down, they don't even know.
Sure.
But, Canada, there are refugees, and we saw some of them in episode 3, which was exciting because we hadn't checked in with them since last season. But they were really doing their own thing. They instead of going, well, what we're going to do is we're really going to try and get all the poor people who are stuck there, including our loved ones, we're just going to talk about ourselves for a little bit. Like, oh, okay. All right. So you can – I guess it was to show you that in Canada is okay.
Sure.
That you can build a life. And it was very much a setup, I think, for what'll happen. But Handmaid's Tale is very good.
You think Canada is going to get its butt kicked?
No, man. Canada's so much more powerful. I don't know. Okay. I got no idea.
Saying about they set you up with hope, sort of like, oh, Canada's nice. Maybe I'll move
Canada
there.
Canada is nice, eh? People are desperately trying to go to Canada.
Sure.
But I feel like people are desperately trying to go to Canada anyway, right?
Yeah. I think it's up there, like, in terms of people where people travel, like, go live.
Yeah.
Expats.
My brother Cam, shout out to Cam. He goes over there a lot. He's a big fan of the Canada.
What part of the Canada does Cam like?
The mountain with
the
snow.
The cold bit. Yeah.
Right.
So I believe it's called Whistler.
Well.
Do you want to have a turn? Whistler.
Whistler. Fun, right? We don't even need to buy tickets. All the fun's been had. Now, Tom, I know that you haven't caught up with Westworld.
No, I'm going to go and watch it after we record.
That's not a problem. Man. All I'll say is that this season, I can understand. I've been reading a little bit of, you know, Twittery, Reddity stuff.
Sure.
And some people are saying, oh, you know, it's changed so much from this first season. The first season was all about discovery and trying to work within this world. And now that the world's open, it's just too vast and too big. And I'm feeling totally confused by it. I don't want people to check out. I think you've got to have faith in this show.
Yeah, totally agree.
Don't check out because it's slowly drip feeding us bits and pieces of the outside world.
I think the other part, and this is something you mentioned as well, is that a lot of people that have watched Westworld binged it because they saw it after the fact and they've been able to get through it so quickly and have had so many moments of discovery that it's been like a quick drug, you know, been a hit.
It's such a bingeable show.
Yeah, whereas by stretching it out like this, you've got to wait time in between. And that does give ample opportunity for theorising and unpacking and discussing
Absolutely.
Things. But we have a lot more answers than we did in the first season as well. So there's not as many big questions. It's more philosophical questions now.
Yeah, absolutely. In that respect, it's similar to Handmaid's Tale because the first season, at least, I'm not sure about it on Hulu, but here in Australia, the first season was just delivered to us. Like, there you go, there's a whole season.
Sure.
Where this season, we're not getting that. We're getting it episode by episode. I don't know if I could watch Handmaid's several episodes at a go. It's pretty full on. Now, Westworld's full on as well, but it really gives you that dangling carrot at the end of each episode, which I know Game of Thrones does it really well. Walking Dead to a lesser extent, but those sort of shows are very bingeable if you can hold out. But having them go, like you said, episode to episode, week to week, it allows people like us to talk about it.
Unpack it and give the mysteries sort of their due course.
Exactly. And there's just so many great actors in it. So many great actors. Really liking Westworld. I think we've finished with all of our talking about shows. It's time to get into some ridiculousness.
No, we can't.
You keep forgetting. I've got a quiz coming up soon, which is ridiculous, but I know that you've got a fun little game, Linz.
So I've got a feeling you're going to do this very easily, but...
Thank you for making it achievable.
this quiz is called... Cancelled or renewed?
Ooh. Oh, Tom, you're going to be good at this.
Yeah. I think so.
I got this from one particular source, so I'm hoping that they are Sure. Correct. I haven't fact checked.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. It's not. 5 minute Google check is all I do most of the time anyway. Yeah.
So if I'm wrong, I don't know. Tell me or not. I might listen. So the Mindy Project.
Cancelled.
Is it? Really? That's sad.
She's focusing on her production company, plus she's in Ocean's 8.
Okay, she's busy.
Man. And she's in Wrinkle in Time.
See, I got a little bit of background, but Tom's just, like, caned me on, like, how much background. The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Now, I know that because Steph loves Real Housewives. I'm pretty sure that one's cancelled.
They are all renewed.
Really? They got renewed?
All of the American ones.
They're because she said she didn't like that one as much.
Oh, really? Yeah. I watched a few bit of it, and there was a lot of calling out and calling each other drama queens.
Yeah.
Where is Potomac?
It's Washington, I think. There are, as a bit of a bonus point, there are 7 Real Housewives in America. Can you name them all?
So you got...
Atlanta.
Orange County, Atlanta.
New York. LA? Or is it just Orange County?
Not LA, yeah.
There was one in Florida.
Miami? Orlando?
No. 7 of them.
Tampa?
Oh, that would be a good one.
New Orleans?
No.
Got Melbourne and Sydney here.
Houston?
Oh, yeah, there would be one in Texas for sure.
Close with Houston? But
Dallas.
Yes.
There we go.
There we go.
That's, what, 6? Hawaii, the other Alaska.
In Georgia.
Atlanta. We said that first.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't listening. Atlanta, Beverly Hills, Dallas, New Jersey.
One of, oh, yeah, New Jersey. That's right. I forgot about that one.
I thought that was, what's Jersey Shore?
Oh, they're
British.
Two separate things.
No, that's Geordie Shore.
Oh, sure.
They're all separate things.
NYC, Orange County, and Potomac.
The one of the Atlanta, Georgia cast members, she wrote Ed Sheeran's Shape of You.
Oh. Mm. There you go. Talents.
She makes the money.
The Simpsons.
Renewed.
But don't they have a cut-off? They're saying that they're going to finish
soon? I think they've got a season and a half left on the contract.
So I think they're on season 30.
What? That's insane.
Incredible. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Is ending at the end of season 4.
That's a shame. I like that show.
Yeah.
Unbreakable. So good.
13 Titus. Reasons Why?
Surely you'd think that'd have another go, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Season 2 drops soon.
Yeah. Adventure Time.
Finishing.
Yeah.
I think there might be down to 1 or 2 set of 4-episode blocks left. Yep. They've been putting 4 episodes out as mini-movies.
Okay.
Right, like, Adventure Time's a bit like Ren and Stimpy. I think it's got that timeless, if you were of that era.
It's so good.
Such good. Corporate.
Renewed. Season 2 coming back next year. I'm psyched.
DC's Legends of renewed. Tomorrow.
That is renewed.
Anything on CW is renewed.
Whether they want to or not.
Yeah.
Drunk History.
Renewed.
You would hope so. People would be devastated otherwise.
Comedy Central spends a lot of money on that show. It's one of their big shows. One of their really big shows.
Yeah.
Considering they're just on a couch getting loaded.
Yep.
Grey's Anatomy.
Cancelled.
No, it's renewed.
How many years has that been going for?
Is that season 16, maybe? Something like that, 15, 16.
Wow.
Teen Wolf.
That's gone.
Cancelled.
Yeah.
And I Love Dick.
Cancelled.
Cancelled. No dick loving no more.
Who's in I Love Dick? I think I watched that.
I have not watched that.
I have no idea.
That to me is just...
Is that it's like the Playboy Mansion show, but of Richard Branson girlfriends?
On his private
Kevin
island.
Kevin Bacon is Dick.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
And Catherine Hahn.
He was the private eye or something.
I think Catherine Hahn was in Breaking Bad, was she?
No. Catherine Hahn is Adam Scott's wife from... Step Brothers.
I know her.
Who keeps sneaking off to have sex with John C. Reilly. She's in a lot of stuff. Yeah, she's also in Bad Mums.
Oh, yeah. I recognise her now. Yeah.
Do you know who else is in a lot of stuff? Laura's. Laura Dern and Laura Linney. And I get those two mixed up all the time.
Sure.
Laura Linney, I had to think about that then. See, it was, is in Ozark with Jason Bateman. Okay. So my quiz is Laura Dern or Laura Linney?
Hmm.
I only know two films.
It's fine.
But you can guess which ones they are.
Look, it was surprised me. I was like, oh, really? They're in that?
Yeah.
All right, Jindabyne. It was Australian
Laura
movie.
Laura Linney.
It was Laura Linney. Mystic River.
Laura Dern.
That was Laura Linney.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Big Little Lies, the TV show with Reese Witherspoon, Dern. Nicole Kidman. That's Dern.
Yeah. I know something.
The Big C was a TV show about cancer. Main character, one of the Lauras.
Dern.
Linney. I thought it was Dern too.
No, Linney.
I was convinced it was Dern. It was Linney. Jurassic Park.
Dern.
One or three?
One.
Is Linney in three?
No, but Dern. Laura Dern has a cameo in three talking to Sam Neill on a phone.
Ah.
All right, ready, Linz? Love Actually.
Linney.
Yeah, so cool. I really like her in that.
She's beautiful.
Finally, Star Wars Last Jedi.
Linney?
Dern.
It was Dern. Dern, yeah. Dern, Dern.
Dern.
Oh, for my Star Wars.
There you go, the Laura Dern and Laura Linney show. If you've got any idea.
I think we were about equal there.
Yeah, that was pretty equal.
Sure.
I wasn't counting. There were seven, though, so someone had to be a winner.
We're all winners.
We're all winners in the end. If you've got any quiz ideas for us, make sure you tell us. Email or just jump onto the Facebook page.
Write it on a brick and throw it at me. Come
just
on.
Shout it in the garden.
We'll feel it. We'll sense it. Linz, thank you so much for coming on again. It's been awesome.
Thanks.
And Tom?
Great job.